Now you will.
We'll call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, May 1st, 2024, to order at 8:49. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Haxby, Schuler, Tiemann, Dorn, Swavely, and Lytle. I'd also like to welcome Senator Dorn. He's in the audience. Always a pleasure to have you back. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held April 17th, 2024. Approve all claims through May 1st, 2024 in the amount of $551,539.84. Accept claim number 2405-0059 to RL Tiemann Construction in the amount of $19,196.55 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Receive and place on file Gage County Audit Report for fiscal year ending June 30th, 2023. Approve receiving and place on file the 2023 annual report for the Odell Volunteer Fire and Rescue. Approve utility permit number 1302 to Windstream Nebraska LLC. Windstream will be removing a temporary line and replacing it with fiber. Windstream will dig and splice a new fiber line west of existing CMP, place new pedestal, and then bore a 2-inch diameter by 6-foot deep line, underflow line approximately 50 feet under structure, then splice new fiber to existing fiber east of the structure and place new pedestal.
You'll have a duplicate there, sorry.
All work is in the north grader ditch of the Belvedere Road, approximately 500 feet east of southwest 131st Road, located south of Section 5, Township 3, North, Range 5 East. Lincoln Township. What's that?
Well, I had the Odell fire, and I didn't realize I had it on already once.
Oh, I see.
But I need the accuracy. You have to read, because I have the
approve, receiving, and place on file the 23 annual report for the Beatrice Fire and Rescue. For item 8, we'll just get rid of Odell fire on item 8.
Yep.
I'd ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, unless there's any changes.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Swavely. Any discussion or items to remove? If not, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 2405-0059 to RL Tiemann Construction in the amount of $19,196.55. This would bring the total of claims paid through May 1st to $570,736.39. This is for gravel and trucking, and this is a company I'm involved with.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Swavely. Any discussion? If not, please vote. 6 in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items for Gage County Board business. Anything anyone would like to bring up for future reference that's not on the agenda later? Welcome, Mr. Wallman. We have the Pickerel Fire Chief here also, former chair of the Village Board. We've got all kinds of celebrities here with us today. Committee reports, building and ground, winter lights. Mr. Swavely.
Yeah, we'll let Dave take that to today, so...
Good morning. Some of the things we talked about during our committee reports, Applied Connective has been coming down to start on the projects that we have scheduled. They're running some cable for the Wi-Fi receivers. They did get that part done, and they'll start with the controllers and stuff like that soon. I did tell you we're having a boiler inspection on Monday. I read the wrong date. It'll actually happen next Monday. So we'll do that. Winter lights meeting, we're having that next week, and we're going to discuss, we are changing out all the light strands this summer, so when the masonry construction is here, they will change the ones up around the tower area, and then, and we do have those already in the house, and we will order the rest of them for the building. And I am going to get some bids for installing doors in the treasurer's office and assessor's office. And then we talked about replacing some concrete on the northeast side of the building. That's where the generator and dumpster are. We're going to try and make it look nicer back there to put a fence around that area. So check on that. And something that's not related to building and grounds, but I thought it was pretty neat. I share an office is behind the DMV. When I went in there, Matt Cotney was there, and he asked if I would take a picture. And there's about four or five people in there. And Sherry Clark was given the award for the National DMV Examiner of the Year. So that was for the whole United States. She was chosen.
Really?
But yeah, so. All and right. She did ask for Eric Thiemann to buy her a donut.
I will do that.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave. Equalization, we just went over that. We'll be continuing to talk. Probably next thing for us will be deciding what we're going to do with referees. Finance and insurance, Mr. Juergens.
Large ticket items. City Beatrice, quarterly EMS services, probation office utilities, $46,648.19. Washington County Sheriff's inmate boarding, $13,950. Beatrice concrete, sand and gravel, rock and gravel, $50,113.24. RL team and construction, township gravel and hauling, $19,196.55. That's it.
It is about budget time. Don's been looking this over. How many budget requests do you have in from offices?
I think I've probably received five back so far.
Doing pretty well for this time of year. If there are any budget items coming up, let us know. Or if you guys have anything you want to talk about as far as going into this next year's budget, get a hold of Don or myself and we'll talk about it. But hopefully this is a fairly uneventful one other than unforeseen things like Pickerel East. That's just one of those things that you can't plan for. Human resources, employee relations, we have a closed session for negotiations at the end of this meeting, and it looks like we'll have one for personnel as well. Law enforcement, emergency management, Mr. Lytle.
Yes, you guys. I talked about. I did message Lisa to ask her about Cortland. I haven't heard back from her
yet.
She's
in some type of training.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, all. Didn't have enough time to get things typed up. Just real quick, for April 12 through 25, we had 274 calls for service. We had nine other school-related calls. We had a search warrant in Odell resulting in two arrests. We had 19 warrant-related activities. 21 calls for service in Wymore, not including whatever he takes on his hands down there when he's working in the chief. And we had two sex offender registration investigations. Let's see. Purple Wave, the car that you voted on surplus, that goes on surplus Purple Wave sale on May 28th. They went down and got that set up already. Sergeant Shop used to be one of our road sergeants here. He since left, was nominated for the MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, Hero Award for 2023 for his DUI activity. I think they said he had 19, so that's going to be a thing up in Lincoln, I think, later this month to recognize his efforts in that area. I handed out to you earlier, you have a little update on the school resource deputy position, doing extremely well. The superintendents and principals are very happy with him. I'm trying to put some numbers together right now. I like got together with them before school gets out to kind of see what the thoughts are. I'm trying to show them what the cost is and kind of what agreements we might be able to arrange if they're interested in doing that. But Wise is doing extremely well. There's been a couple times he goes out in the evenings even, adjusts his hours and flexes them out a little bit so he can cover some events for the schools with them going on. So that's doing extremely well there. Any questions on the resource deputy position? Okay, and then I have something else on the agenda later on. So, okay, thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff. Anything else, Mr. Lytle, at this time?
No. Hey, Gus, you haven't talked to Lisa about that siren up in Cortland. Have you a chance? I'll update you if I get something.
Our contract with the City of Beatrice for ambulance service for the county is up at the end of this fiscal year also. I've talked to Toby about that a little bit. At this time, I assume we will be continuing that as is. In the past, what we've done is change dates, decided on an increase, or if we want to stay flat. What are your thoughts? I told him we'd talk today a little bit, and I'd try to get him some direction for a contract. I can request a flat contract. This is something we're not required to do by any means. The other option would be to have outside private companies come in and do this work. The service from Beatrice has been very good, Mr. Juergens.
Request flat.
3-year contract. Does that sound good to the board? They know there's been discussion on things. This is basically additional dollars they get for ambulance service.
I can print contracts for the next meeting. You guys can go over it if you want. What we have right now.
Maybe that's what I'll do. If we could have a contract for the next meeting, I'll tell them in 2 weeks we'll anticipate sending something over to him, but I'll let him know what we're thinking. Also, in a couple weeks, we will be looking at our Engage contract as well. So we'll have a copy of the ambulance contract as well as the Engage contract for next meeting. If you guys have any questions ahead of time, give me a shout. I think that's it for law enforcement. That other should have gone on finance. Road and Bridge, Mr. Juergens.
Simple and sweet. We're changing some miles with Blakely Township, and the big elephant in the room is the Pickerel Bridge. We looked at some estimates, and we decided to, I think we're sent Mark direction to start the procedure to go with triple 14s, box culvert, and as quickly as possible. There's a lot of engineering stuff has to get done. It'll take, see if there's no bird nest around and stuff like that, but we'll start with hopes of being completed by September 1, with hopes of being completed before the harvest.
It's all been referred back to the engineer department.
Okay.
Or August 15th. Anything else for Roden Bridge? That's the main item right now, I know. Nothing else for Roden Bridge. We will move on to Dakota Hurley, Tourism Director, Coordinator, to present the Visitor Improvement Grant to Blue Springs Ball Diamond Association for $4,000. Good morning, Dakota.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Okay.
Thanks, Dakota.
Thank you.
I'm Brett Schlake here. He is president of Blue Springs Ball Diamond Association, and they are requesting funds to put a sign in right there at the diamond in Blue Springs. Lots of stuff happening in Blue Springs right now. So basically, you'll see that their total project cost for this is $8,000. They're requesting $4,000, of course. There is lots of details on kind of how many things that they have throughout the year, how many players are there, and stuff like that. I'll let Brent kind of go over what the sign looks like and where they're putting that and stuff like that, and then you can go ahead and ask questions.
Yeah, if you look at attachment B, the sign we're looking at getting is a limestone sign that's like painted. We'll obviously have the, we'll have to put the Gage County Tourism in there if we get it, I know, but it kind of matches the trailhead signs that are currently at Blue Springs and Wymore, kind of have the same trailhead signs, so that was kind of the theme that we were going for. We're just trying to beautify the interest of our ball diamond and trying to, you know, clean up our image a little bit of our fields and stuff like that. We're a 501c3 nonprofit formed in 1998. We're one of the few fields around that I know of that aren't operated as a city park. We do everything ourselves. The land is owned by Wymore, but everything that we do out there is by volunteering and sponsorships. So any kind of money that we can get from grants and stuff is always very appreciated. So is there any questions on anything?
Currently, there's no sign. When you pull into the ballpark, there's no sign saying this is where you are to kind of welcome guests and travelers.
And we have, like I said, there's some of that stuff on there. We just hosted our tournament last weekend. The weather actually didn't kind of work out, but we had 12 teams coming as far as 2 hours away from Kansas, Nebraska. We had one from Omaha, Fall City. And so we do try to pull in a lot of people that in our tournaments sometimes are two-day tournaments, so they do, you know, stay in hotels and support our businesses in town. And a lot of the money actually kind of goes to Beatrice more than Blue Springs sometimes, but it does help the whole county. So,
any questions from the board?
Would you like a motion?
Not yet. Brent, thanks for doing this. Like I say, the amount of time people put into these projects, it's crazy, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know. I didn't probably know what I signed up for, you know, the amount of time that it takes for all these different workings and everything. So, yeah.
Have you ever talked to Beatrice? In all seriousness, from Beatrice to Blue Springs is no different than driving between fields in some of the bigger towns or cities. Does that work ever to incorporate your field into the Beatrice tournaments?
A lot of times they probably have enough field capacity. Usually they, you know, if we had a big, like, regional or something, we maybe could do that. But, yeah, our fields aren't as nice as Beatrice's, so it obviously couldn't take the weather the other day. But I know Dennis Dodge actually offered to move the tournament to Beatrice kind of late, but it really wouldn't have worked out. But, yeah, we have I work with I talk with Dennis Dodge quite a bit, and I've talked to Gary a couple times over the years. So we have tried to work together as far as having our teams support each other, too. So, but, yeah, that would be something to kind of consider, I guess. That'd be more on your end probably than our end. But
he's kind of a big deal. So, but, no, anything that the communities can do together, that's always a good thing. But, no, thank you for your work on this. Anything else from the board?
Just to be at the ballpark and not on main drag?
Yes. It'd be at the start of the entrance of the park. We actually just recently reinstalled a ballpark sign. I worked with Blue Springs on that to have a sign that came in. There is sometimes, and actually it just happened this week, last weekend, but I know it's like state highway stuff. It would be nice to have a sign sometimes when you come off the highway. We had a couple people that went to Wymore instead of Blue Springs, and so that's always sometimes confusing. But that's why I went with a standard like blue park sign instead of like a homemade type sign. So there would be less confusion on getting into the parks. But I got three calls on Sunday that people were lost, you know, for, you know, like Omaha. So it is sometimes kind of hard. But.
Some big old Blue Springs?
Yeah. Well, they went to Wymore. Yeah, they were sitting in Wymore, and we had to direct them back over to Blue Springs. But,
I would ask for a motion to approve or disapprove the tourism grant.
So I'm moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Schuler, to approve the tourism visitor improvement grant in the amount of $4,000. Any discussion? If not, please vote. 7 in favor, motion carries.
Abstaining.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Haxby.
We're good. Okay, we're good. That's not for you.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
I had forgot something for the road and bridge.
Thanks, Brent.
Thank you.
So before I forget, in the road and bridge report,
mm-hmm.
I had a suggestion by somebody to, on our roads, we have township roads and we have county roads, creating a map so it's easier to figure out who, like if they're township or if they're county roads, and then contact points for them, since those are also elected positions, so it's easier to find. Since county roads and townships roads, they hopscotch a little bit throughout the county. So that was one of the suggestions that I got that I think would be a good idea, make it a little bit easier. And then for the road and bridge, we had Senator Fisher's community project funds grants were due April 3rd, and Congressman Smith's, I got the application on Thursday, and they are due today. I did get the Hickory Road and the Adams Bypass are applied for Congressman Smith's as well. I'm trying to finish up with Claytonia for a well that they're, I'm just trying to help them on their application. So just want to let you guys know that those are in.
Mark, do we have a map that just breaks it out in color, which ones are township, which ones are county? Where do you want that map at, Ms. Axby?
I didn't know if, like, because we have on the supervisors, we have a page available for, like, districts. Could we link something like that on there?
I see it. I can see what size it is if I get it up there.
Because those don't change very often. We just made a change, of course, or we're making a change with Blakely.
Gave me one.
Who did?
We had one years ago of a big township map, but I didn't have it colored that it was different things.
I think I've got one hanging in my office.
If it's still the same, I'll have to look and see.
I had one at NRCS, but it's old.
Yep.
It's outdated.
I've made one myself when I first started.
Maybe if we could link one or get one to Dawn, and then we could put that on the website.
We have talked about down the highway department a couple times with some of the phone calls that we do get, you know, are you on a township, county road? So, but yeah, I would try to update ours. If you guys wanted to, we can get something from Manili Wagner that's bigger. If you want to hang it up anywhere. So
that makes it more difficult if there's an issue on a road. Usually the go-to is that's a township issue. If they know which road's which, that'll help with that. So.
I didn't know if it was something either, at least a picture that's a high definition that you can, like, zoom into the road to find, like, to check it, or if that's something we can incorporate, this would be into our GIS. If it's like a road, you can have like choose a layer.
I would say that'd be more the GIS because I have the layers like for my election maps and things like that.
Because you can choose
about that.
Layers for that. So I didn't know if we could layer, like choose layers for township or county road.
I can ask them.
It would be difficult on GIS just the way it's going to be on there. Because I've had to do it on my GIS to where I have to add my own county roads where our patrols go. So it'd be difficult to...
They're not on there to start with?
No.
The county roads
are? They give me the option on the GIS of what patrol I want to put where, but I have to draw my own lines in. But that's how I track all my my patrol data, too, is I select what roads are on for the day. And
I can do my precinct, so I'm thinking that maybe... I don't know.
Maybe visit.
I mean, them. I can do it. I can do it per township because I've created those maps too that are just for a township. But you're looking at 24 documents, which we could subfolder out.
You want that on the website, though?
Well, I wonder, or if we linked it so that people could be able to zoom in to see it. Because if you do just the whole county, that's going to be awfully hard to
distinguish. And it is going to be very hard to read the
per township.
Road
then you could, I mean, some of those, if they're a high enough definition, you can, like, hit zoom once and see the roads. I don't know, I've got a lot of calls, and that was a suggestion that I got.
It's not a
and
bad
that's,
idea.
That's something we've talked about, put it on, like, the highway department's page, because it's pretty limited, or there isn't really much on there. That and maybe the utility report.
Maybe look into that, see what we can do. There's probably a good option, and GIS, I'm sure we're not the only ones that have thought about putting roads up, whether it's color-coded or whatever. I'm sure a lot of other counties have that, so let's see what we can do on that. The contacts are always tougher because even our list is
we can't keep up with it.
Limited at times as township officials change.
They're elected, that's the comment, and I was like, I get that too, but
Do you have a list of elected township officials?
Well, we have a list elected, but then if they don't remember to tell us if somebody resigns, that's where we, where our list gets.
Or passes.
If they resign, then we'd have to elect.
No, we don't elect them. See, then if someone resigns, then they can appoint to fill that person's position. So that's where we don't always get
notified. What's the term of a township?
4 years.
4 years.
So we could be right at least every 4 years.
Right?
It's a start.
What I was thinking. It's better than what we've got now.
Many of them are pretty good about giving us their minutes, you know, when they appoint someone else, but not always, so.
We have a township meeting every year. There's no reason we couldn't get that information every year.
You would be surprised if people don't want to fill that out because that was at the last township meeting. We wanted updated contacts.
Don't want to fill it out or don't attend either.
They don't want phone calls.
Right. We're pretty good, though, about, I mean, last 2 years we've had at least, I think, every township. If we've missed one, maybe. But most townships are always at that meeting.
Yes, like so I said.
That's a better chance once a year we could be right.
That's true. That's a great place where we could update after that. But no, if you'd look into that, that'd be great. Yep. I mean, it'd be a nice resource for people.
No, we can clean something up because, like I said, I just took the NDOT website and created my own map for myself when I first started. So,
perfect. Up next, approve or disapprove utility permit number 1300 to Pinpoint Communications, Inc. Pinpoint will be installing new fiber lines per the submitted utility permit. Pinpoint will be plowing in the outer edge of the right-of-way and boring under all structures and roads where necessary. Pinpoint will be installing fiber lines in the West Greater Ditch right-of-way from Dorsey to Hickory between South First Road to South Fifth Drive. Located south of Section 10 and 11, east of Sections 15, 22, and 27, north of Sections 22 and 23, and in Section 26, Township 4 North, Range 6 East, Midland Township. This is one we had some discussion on. I guess I would ask Mr. Shoemaker or your associate to come up and give us a brief overview, sure. And we'll begin discussion.
Well, thank you again for giving us some time to talk about this permit. We're obviously looking for approval for a fiber to the home build out. We have a grant that we're obligated to do, and so we're looking for this to fulfill that grant obligation. Additionally, you know, we're putting private investment to some other homes in between Sargent and Dorsey, 19th and Highway 77. And as well as some areas that we have not permitted yet in the Bear Creek area that we'd be putting fiber to the home. We really believe that this should be approved just based on it's a public use. We think that this is a standard permit, and we've been itching to go for this permit for a while. We'd like to get our services out there to these customers. Pinpoint is a rural, community-minded fiber to the home company. We are in a partnership with the city of Beatrice and have, I think we're 99% complete with our Beatrice build that we started about 18 months ago. So we have been completing that and turning customers up and going through that. We're really wanting to just move this thing forward. I know there's a lot of contentious around this. I'm not here to re-litigate the Public Service Commission's decision on things. We're here to look for a permit and continue what we've been obligated to do for serving rural Nebraskans. We're not unfamiliar with rural Nebraskans. We've been here, been in rural Nebraska. We've been a telephone company for over 100 years in southwestern Nebraska. We're good stewards of the grounds that we get to. We clean up when we need to. We try not to, you know, disrupt where we don't need to. So, you know, I'm here to answer questions and help out where I can. So, but
any questions for Mr. Shoemaker on this? Shoemaker or Schumacher?
Shoemaker.
Shoemaker on this permit. All right, I'll turn it over to board discussion then. Thank you, sir. We'll holler at you if we want you to come back up. Appreciate it. Any board discussion on this permit?
You want each of us to get one?
Yeah. There's, you have to take, there's two two pieces of paper, I think, for
two pages. Ms. Haxby.
Oh, I see. I see how you got it.
Thanks, Don.
So they're passing out this. It's hard to describe it. Hard to describe the layout of this, so I tried to break it down as easy as possible. It is, but first I want to thank Pinpoint for not only coming in to talk about their project, but their investment in Gage County. Had we been able to have this discussion prior to the submission of the applications in Gage County, we would not only have supported your application, South Beatrice, but would have worked to find a place that was not already funded to avoid this situation altogether. I understand that you believe that you got in the middle of this between us and the PSC, but these funds are not guaranteed, and they're not obligated to be built. You are selected for the opportunity to build an area. If not built, the funds do not just disappear. They would be returned to the pool of money to be redistributed to an area to areas of need. I think that everyone should be served before government-subsidized projects are overbuilt for a competitive market. I 100% support capitalism and competition in the market. However, I will not support a permit to overbuild that uses government-subsidized funds to do so. So these pictures, it kind of shows the original application and then the permit that we received at $0 to either the state or the county that I worked months on with the community members to get permitted, added on to our project area. And then you can see where the project area overlaps with the grant awarded area, where the permit covers the homes within the permit within the awarded area. And then also the emails that I sent to the PSC to show the permit and the overlap, and then the KMZ file I sent a year ago.
Ms. Haxby, will you walk us through these? Just, I apologize, but will you kind of walk us through each of these so you're telling me what you're... What you're describing,
yeah.
Just I mean to make, I don't know how to make it simple. Just if it's you'll hard. Go through one it's, through whatever.
Yeah. So the first picture was the original application put in. The second picture is the permit that I worked with the community members with NextLink that they engineered and are going to build for $0 to, it was their own investment. The next picture, I had it blown up so you could see our large project area, and then I zoomed in to show our project area. So the green is our project area, and the purple-pink is the granted area. The little dots in that are the homes that are funded.
Quick question, that top picture on the second page, the pink to the west...
That's a different grant.
Is that
it's another.
Also
it's another. Point? Nope. That's Diode. That's a bridge. Another awarded bridge. Nebraska Bridge Program grant. Then the bottom picture just shows the awarded area with the overlap of our area that we already awarded, as well as the overlap of the permit that we already have in place. Then I did pull one home out because it's the barn that doesn't have power dwelling. It's just a barn in the middle of a field that received that funding, that $25,000 allocation. And then the one singular home, which we found out was some of those homes were eliminated with a charter challenge, I believe. Yes. But they left one home still within our project area, traveling past all of those to get to that one within our project area. And then just the back is the picture of the emails that were sent and the dates that they were sent. So April of last year, I sent the KMZ file to the Public Service Commission so it could be incorporated and so that this would not happen because it was a funded project. And then the email on September 15th, which was within the challenge timeline, but they don't specifically allow for those challenges, but they knew about it because I had let them know, because we've had discussions before. I talk to them often, I see them often, so I sent the information because we had that. Like I said, we did have other good applications. They had one on the south side of Beatrice, all unserved, great application. So I wanted to make sure that those were selected before ones that we had either funded or permitted were selected. So then moving forward after the selection, NextLink did file a reconsider because this information was there. PSC denied the reconsider. So the PSC's decision to deny AMG NextLink's motion for reconsideration is extremely short-sighted and fiscally irresponsible. We have so many homes that need connectivity that we cannot afford to be overbuilding using public funds. The Commission's explanation that the denial is based on procedural issues is a bad faith argument, since the Commission's own maps had the Gage County project already included as shown on those maps. Outside the procedural excuse, the PSC defines Tier 1 projects as projects serving an area that is both unserved and has not received public assistance for development of a broadband network. So how is this project classified as a Tier 1 project in the first place? Mr. Robbins stated at the meeting that there is no date certain of when these people may get service from the Gage County project. I have spoken multiple times in front of the legislature while the PSC members were present and in front of the Broadband Task Force, giving a two-year build timeline, and there has been multiple news articles as well. Even without the enforceable contract between Gage County and NextLink, which is publicly available, putting the construction completion in September of 2024, the above news articles, all projects facilitated with ARPA dollars must be allocated by 2024 and expended by 2026, which is a well-known fact. There's also discussion about how NextLink's intent to challenge came on August 8th, but was due August 7th, so procedurally they did not meet the timeline. Mr. Robbins said they did not meet the dates they are required to. Commissioner Kamler voted to deny because the dates were not clear on this. The dates are clear on this. However, claiming procedural issues is inconsistent with the PSC's own precedent. Just last year, 13 of the 27 extension requests that were approved by the Commission were filed after the June 1 deadline. One was filed as late as August 29th. Yet the PSC appeared to have approved each and every one of those late filed extensions with the following statements. The reason I include these statements is because they are pertinent to the reason of this application. In addition, we recognize Dalton submitted its request several days after the submission deadline set forth on the January 4 order. We think that the successful completion of these projects to increase the reach of broadband in our state outweighs a comparatively minor procedural error. Here's another one. In addition, while we recognize NCTC submitted its request a few days after submission deadline set forth in the January 4 order, we think the successful completion of these projects to increase the reach of broadband in our state outweighs a minor breach of paperwork deadline for extending the project deadline. So procedural rules matter, but only when the Commission wants them to. In a recent press release, they said the process for challenges during a grant cycle, it's not only set forth in statute, but is well defined by the Commission. A similar process was in place for the extension request, but exceptions were made to increase the reach of broadband. Arguably, with this project funding an overbuild at five times the amount with double the population density, an exception should have been made to increase the reach of broadband. This is a waste of taxpayer dollars. Christian Murch, I spoke to, could not make it here today, but he sent me a quote to read. He serves on the PSC, and he was one of those that was the one that voted no to denying the reconsider. He said, "I believe that when it comes to taxpayers' hard-earned dollars, we have a responsibility to ensure that their money is appropriately being used for public good. Where questions arise regarding the potential for waste or duplication of public funding, I believe the Public Service Commission has a responsibility to investigate the claim and, if necessary, to prevent potential loss to the taxpayers, regardless of minor procedural errors." While a majority of this project is an overlap of funds, the rest of it is an overlap of months of work between community members, myself, NextLink, to establish a build-out at $0 to the county and the state. While I think that overbuilding those 8-ish homes that are covered by the permit to NextLink and that is subsidized at $0, with these funds subsidizing at $25,000 is unreasonable, I would understand allowing that portion since it was not in our contracted area. But to fund or to allow the building of an overbuild of two government subsidized funds is not something that I will support. I've asked Senator Dorn, Senator Bosselman, and Lowell. Senator Dorn has heard about this on the floor. Senator Bosselman serves on the telecommunications, so he's very aware of all these pieces. I asked them to come today, so Myron would...
First off, good morning. It's nice to be back here and stuff, and always fun to come watch county board meeting and stuff. So see the little, I call it, things that happen or the nuances that a lot of people don't pick up on, and it's very fun to watch that. Emily, Ms. Haxby, did get a hold of me to come and visit today. I'm going to talk a little bit about, and I sit on Appropriations Committee, what happens up in the legislature. Senator Bosselman, he is very much more aware of this than I am because he is deals with that in the committee. We don't deal with it so much in our committee. But at the same time, we've had, when I came up there 6 years ago, I didn't realize how big or how important an issue broadband is because of the fact that our state, through those years, going forward even, we do not have the, I call it the coverage that we need or the access to broadband that we need. Want to make a couple comments. One was we had a bill this year which was called the dark fiber bill. Senator Brandt carried that. There are lines out there, and these have certain criteria to where those lines are laid. Mainly it's to, I call it, public entities like public power and such. When they lay a line out there, that broadband line, there are multiple strands in there. Not all of those are being used. So what Senator Brandt's bill did was it allowed those entities now to work with other entities under certain criteria that they now maybe could use some of those. They're called dark fiber because they're not being used. They are dark. Out of the 30, maybe 3 or 6 are being used. This then allows those others now that we weren't as a state allowing, that the two have to get together. They have to have an agreement that they can use those. So that's how important this is. One of the other comments, and this was while we had all the discussion on the floor, understand Emily's kept me up to date with what all went on here with the Public Service Commission and everything. This was a senator, a rural senator, that said he has 4 broadband lines laid past his place. He says, I don't know what or where they go to, but I know, he says, we're only using from one of those. One of the things we always do, we always watch, we're always aware of, is I call it the cost. There was an estimate a couple years ago that it was going to be in the billions of dollars to get the whole state of Nebraska covered with broadband, to get this all laid out with broadband. That probably has gone up just because costs have gone up. So that's very important. And it's also very important that we watch, and we're also very mindful of how public dollars are spent and how they're used, so that we don't, I call it, overlap or overdo things or whatever. We're still trying and working very hard as a state to get it out to everybody, let alone, I call it, do the duplication. We know that's going to happen. We know that's going to be there. But we also want to make sure, economic-wise and for the good of the state, that we get it out to everybody as fast and as good as we can. Like I said, when I went up there 6 years ago, broadband really wasn't on my radar. I know Senator Bosselman, he'll talk about it, that it was on his. I've learned a tremendous lot in the 6 years, and I'm still a dummy at it when you go to some people that really know this stuff up there. But it is very important to state, very critical. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. We'll leave it. I'll take questions if somebody has questions other than that. Thank you.
I guess my question for you, Senator, would be, what's your opinion on a permit like this then when there's something, a project that's already permitted, it is going in, we know that, relatively the same time frame. There's another one, that the PSC, which is, I believe, you know, another elected board, but the legislature has given them this authority right now. What's your opinion then? Are you in favor of paying the extra money and putting having both go in with public dollars, or whoever's first to the table gets the permit?
That's, for me, that's a hard question to answer because you guys will answer that question or whatever. I generally don't like to come out and give an opinion because you guys get to make the opinion. I do not like the part that we are spending, I call it public funds, even though it's a grant. Emily is right, that will go back in and be used in other aspects. I do not like the part of the fact that they're going to use more public funds to do this and put in, I call it an overlap basically, because the way I understand it, unless one of you doesn't do it, you're going to have two lines laying there. So I don't agree with that part at all, that we have that part of, I call it the overlap or whatever. Now, the Public Service Commission, just so you know, they're their own body. We get to set some of the guidelines and some of the rules, but we do not get to set, I mean, how they look at things or how they decide or how they vote on things. The legislature does not get to do that. We get to, though, I call it set some of their, not guidelines, some of their things that how we put broadband out there. We get to set some of those. Not sure exactly what all happened. I read all of the stuff Emily put together about, yes, did they miss the deadline by a date? I do know that one of the reasons why we now have a new broadband office, and that's been set up since Governor Pillen's been there, a new broadband office is to help with some of these issues, help with some of these problems, help make sure we as a state get the broadband out there quicker. And there were some, I wouldn't call it roadblocks from the Public Service Commission, but they have criteria what they have to meet. And this broadband, new broadband office is set up so that it will help, I call it execute and get more funding out there and get more projects done so that we can get broadband to people quicker. It's unfortunate. It's not good that we duplicate things, but like I said, talk to one senator on the floor, a rural senator that has four of these lines laid by his house, and he wondered why they had to have four lines, why they couldn't all get together. Maybe somebody reading the maps, I don't know, somebody at the Public Service Commission, did they drop the ball and didn't see that these two were going together? And maybe that's not their job. I don't know that or whatever. But Senator Bosselman can probably give you a little bit better perspective on some of that because he deals with this more in the committee that deals with this issue. So, yeah.
Mr. Schuler?
It seems to me this debate should be happening with the Public Service Commission and not here at a in regards to approving or disapproving a utility permit. In my mind, it seems that a utility permit is being used to leverage what we think has been done wrong by the Public Service Commission, and that doesn't sit well with me because we're going beyond what our duties are as a county board with a utility permit, as simple as that is. We're using it as leverage to control the overlap of a broadband, and I don't like that either, and I don't like the Public Service Commission's decision, but is this the place to fight that battle?
That's a decision. I can't argue with you at all. That's a decision, though, you guys are going to have to make somewhere through this whole process. Something, I don't know whether it got lost, didn't realize it. People that looked at the map and studied this didn't come up with, hey, these are overlapping. That I don't know. I don't have those answers for you. That was probably went through the Public Service Commission, that they should have been aware of those things. Senator Bosselman might have a better idea. He might know more than I do. But somewhere somebody dropped the ball and now didn't. Now, yeah, it comes back to you guys then here. Do you approve the, I call it the permit, for that laying that other line? Yes.
And I realize the debate did happen with Public Service Commission because there was a request to reconsider, but they chose not to.
Chose not to.
And that is their privilege because they had their deadline dates, although we don't agree.
A publicly elected board. There are five members on that board. Senator, not former Senator Watermeyer, but Syracuse is chairman of that board. Otherwise, oh, I don't know. I know the regents every 6 years. I don't know if Public Service Commission's 4 years or 6 years. I don't know.
I think they are six.
Yeah. So, but it is a public elected body again. So,
Mr. Lytle.
This isn't a question from Myron. This is just a statement. what's in front of us is a utility permit to approve or disapprove.
Yeah.
And that's what's there is not anything that we've ever denied in the past. And my feeling is that we need to get on with approving or disapproving the utility permit, not debating whether or not the funding should be or should not be given out here, because that's not what's at question today. You know, Emily has done a lot of work, and like I said before, I respect everything she's done. Emily's done a lot of work. They did have that information. Now, to say that they did or didn't drop the ball, I don't think that's for us to decide. The PSC looked at this. They obviously had the information, and they've looked at it more than once, and yet they continue to move forward with the approval of it, of that permit or that grant. So I really struggle with spending a lot of time discussing this as it's a PSC issue. I agree with Don 100%. This isn't a discussion for a utility permit. I think that this, whether you guys can put some type of controls on them, oversight, whatever else, mm-hmm. this is a PSC deal. Maybe they've got a plan, like I said Monday, maybe they have a plan and a program in place that this fits what they're wanting to do, and that's why they're doing it. Maybe there's a reason it makes sense, but that's not for us to decide here today. It's a utility permit.
And I also agree with that. What happened or what went on with the Public Service Commission isn't what you guys will decide today, and that's why I've been here a time or two before or talked to some of you, and I really try to stay out of that because that's your guys' decision on this permit and stuff. So, that's why you guys get elected and get paid the big bucks. You're twice as high as we are. Remember that.
Ms. Axby.
I was just going to say, I mean, the debate's happening here because the Public Service didn't listen. And I have emails. I attached them. That was from our board. We are here to represent the people of our county.
Yes.
Our people pay the taxes. And despite what most government thinks, the money doesn't grow on trees. That does come from the people paying the taxes. These grants come from there. So it is also our job to make sure that we're watching that.
Mr. Schwavel.
But the senator, I heard the senator say that NextLink and Pinpoint get their heads together. They could share what's going on there. If there's a couple deadlines in there, that you know, then all this stuff would be moot. We wouldn't have to worry about it. Okay, so
yeah. We'll let some of the others talk a little bit. But Senator Balsamon, we're okay. Yeah.
Thank you, Senator Dorn. Thank you. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. How are you all?
Good.
Thanks for having me here this morning. Emily, thanks for the invitation. My name is Bruce Bostelman. I'm State Senator representing the Legislative District 23, Saunders Butler, Colfax County. It's unfortunate, I think, that we're sitting here today having this discussion because it shouldn't be happening, and I'll explain why as I talk here and just as we go through this, so please give me a couple of minutes to explain. I appreciate Mr. Schumacher and I have worked on the Rural Broadband Task Force together. We have for several years. Mr. Pollack and Mr. Brooks and I have worked on legislation over the last 8 years that I have served in the legislature on this specific issue on broadband deployment. Unfortunately, why we are here today as part of it is, and I'll get to the permit question that you said just a little bit ago, and I'll give you my answer to it, is a failure of the Public Service Commission. And we've seen the failure of Public Service Commission over years. Actually, Mr. Pollack and I actually worked on an issue several years ago that happened out in Harvard, Nebraska, on an overbuild, potential overbuild, or not allowing, PSC not allowing a company come in and build because there was already infrastructure, already a plan to be built there. So what we're talking about today is a limited number of grant funds, public money, to build out the state of Nebraska for broadband. You have a plan in place that you have approved. I think Emily, Ms. Haxby, has done that through ARPA to build out at a reasonable cost that is in process is being built. We also have the Pinpoint who wants to overbuild in the same projects that you've already approved and that you've already had building work being done on that. We're talking about when you talk about grants, when you talk about state grants, capital projects, whatever that might be, or the federal grants, the underlying thing on all those, no overbuilding. You cannot overbuild. Okay? Period. That's part of that grant process. A PSC, as Ms. Haxby has said, I believe has failed in this specific area, as in others. I've been brought to my attention over the years in taking proper actions to make sure we're not overbuilding areas or that we're allowing companies to come in and build areas that need to be built. You're talking about pole attachments specifically. Pole attachments, as you're aware, that pole attachment now has a permit or has a easement on it, and in order to put anything new on that pole, you have to have a new permit or you have to have a new action taken to ensure that equipment other than the electrical lines are going down, power lines going down are allowed. That has been in committee for years that we have had legislation on that going back and forth. All the telecoms, all those come in, and the power utility companies come in, and on both sides of that, fighting that. So you do have to have a new permit. If you don't have a permit, you can't put anything on that. New permit or new easement, you can't put anything on that pole unless you go through that process. So what we're talking about is, again, you have a program, a build-out that's already approved. You approved it through ARPA funds that's being done. You have a new telecom coming in and wants to build over it. PSC has been told appropriately where those areas are and that there is an overbuild, and they chose to refuse that reconsideration, refuse that information. So now it comes to you all for the permit. So if you allow the permit, you're allowing overbuild. So that's your spot where you're at right now. And as I started this discussion out, and as I will, the one thing on every grant that comes out, every grant that we get, federal or state, no overbuild. We have to go to the unserved and underserved areas first with these grants, with this funding, and then we go to other areas. There's only so much money coming into the state from the feds and that the state has to build these. So when we start using excess funds, I would say, to overbuild areas, that's taken away someone else from being built too. So your question that you're rightfully looking at, Mr. Lytle, that you ask correctly, it's a permit. But in that permit process, you're allowing an overbuild. Overbuild of something that you've already approved as a county, as this board. So future funding, I think that's come up before, and I just read some information on future funding. We did a bill, with Mr. Pollack this last session, 1031, I think it was, that we're going to stop NUSF funding for copper to force to try to make companies now put fiber in the ground, make that connectivity done. And what's come up now, as I see from the feds, is there are so many different grants, USDA grants, NITC grants, state grants, funding that are out there. It's kind of a hodgepodge of stuff, and there's going to be a mess, in a sense. It's got to be figured out. Actually, we did a bill last year or 2 years ago to start to address that with the PSC. How it is the Kohler to make sure that we connect everybody and keep everybody connected as we build out. So the funding to do that and the funding for upkeep and maintenance on that is something the feds are working on, are going to have to work on, they're going to have to change as time comes about in the future years, because that will be a serious question we have to have. I just wanted to give you a little background on where we've been over the last 8 years. Unfortunately, what I have seen happen through the PSC has not always been the best, most judicious way to provide grants and do that funding. That's been some issues that have come up on a number of occasions. And my concern is what we're seeing here in your county, if others across the state are doing the same thing, trying to build out with, in this case, it was ARPA funds or others, they're trying to build out and the PSC is going to ignore them, then we've got a bigger problem on our hands as well. So those are discussions, obviously, you're right, need to be taken up with the PSC. But your permit process that you're doing right now does play into this, because with a new permit, if you do that, then there would be an overbuild, and that's a concern for me. And I would think for everybody within the in the telecom industry that applies for these grants. So take any questions you might have.
I have a question. You talked about the power pole attachments. Is that they were trying to change it? Because as it currently sits, a power pole in a right-of-way or an easement would need a new easement or a new permit, because they would be carrying something other than public power, correct?
Anything other than that utility, that power line is going down there, correct?
So if they're, if the...
The reason, sorry, if I may.
Yes, yes.
The reason for that is what the utilities will tell you. If you go to the NPA, Nebraska Power Association, if you go to your REAs, go to MPPD, OPPD, LES, they say you have, and maybe, I'm sorry, I don't want to get too basic on this, but you have a power pole. When they put that pole in, they engineer it for a certain stress, right, for certain equipment to be put on it. So that pole will withstand weather, those things, so that it, we don't have a, you know, it doesn't come down. When you start adding things onto poles, one, you're changing the engineering on that pole, the weight, that type of thing on the pole. The other thing is now you have people that aren't linesmen, they're not electric, you know about the power that's up there. They're going up those poles. How do you handle that to make sure those people who are going up those poles are certified or don't get near those power lines, so we don't have someone electrocuted or otherwise? So those are concerns the power industry, public power has over the years said is their biggest concerns are those two things, I think. One is the engineer of that pole and who's going to pay for it. If you have to replace it, that's mostly on small cell when you get to that, because if they have to replace a pole, it's an older pole, you know, who pays for that pole to get it replaced? The other one is safety, flat-out safety. We got someone climbing a pole that's not a linesman. We want to make sure that those, that attachment, that line, whatever is put on there, is put on there and that person's trained so that they don't get up into an area that they shouldn't be on those power lines. That answers your question.
Yeah, and I spoke to Norris. I'd asked how that works with theirs, and that was what they said. They do a structure test, and if those poles are on an easement, they have to get a new easement because the easement was intended for public power or public utility, and this is a private telecom. Same thing with a right-of-way. So if the poles were within a right-of-way, they'd have to get a new permit.
Yeah, the other challenge, the other concerns we've had just on cable or fiber being on poles themselves out of my district specifically, as a storm comes in and knocks down the power lines and there's a fiber or cable running on that power, on that pole, they don't come back in right away to put it back up. So now it's laying on the ground. So the utility comes in, puts power lines back up, but the fiber's laying on the ground or sagging. People don't know whether they can drive over or not. So that's something to consider. If a permit is, can you address that? Because it needs to be, because that's been a real problem in certain areas where, you know, they put the power lines up. Now you got a fiber running across the road, and people don't know, can I drive across this or not? Is it safe or not? Can I get near it or not? So that's a concern. However, I do believe going overhead is a great idea. You just have to make sure you have those safety things put in place.
I think there's places for it, for sure.
Sorry?
I think there are places for aerial application or aerial use, but
I think that's got to be part of the build-out at some point in time. I mean, it's, you know, overhead should be done a lot cheaper, less expensive than, you know, putting it in the ground.
Biggest concern, I think, with that is you have to stay so far away from power, the power line itself, and so you're going to be lower for, it depends on the height of the power pole and the equipment.
The utility says, yeah, the utility determines that. You know, that's who you have to work with, the utility, obviously.
Mr. Schuler.
Well, it seems to me we're getting pretty deep into this for what a utility permit and what our obligation is. Those issues are the engineering issues, the company issues, the liability issues. And if we did that with every person or every company that wanted a utility permit, whether it be boring underneath the road, I'm sure there's considerations for that too. We would spend a lot of time on utility permits. It just seems like we're reaching a little further. I'm not saying you're wrong. I mean, I think all that stuff is very legitimate, of course, but is that for us to consider when it comes to approving a utility permit?
Well, I think you'd want to talk to the utility to find out if those things have been, those questions have been asked and answered. I mean, that's something, I'm just telling you what we've, over the years, I mean, this isn't one, this is multiple years we've dealt with these bills, specifically on pole attachments and what you put onto poles. I think that would be a question I would want to know from the utility. In your place, have you had discussions with them? What's your response on that? Is there safety issues? Are there other issues? You know, are there pole issues? You know, before you approve a permit, perhaps that would be something you want to consider. I just provide that for you for background.
I was just going to say that I think he was just trying to give an overview of how we are today with permits.
I don't know if you know the answer to this or not, Senator. Where is this funding coming from that the PSC is distributing out?
I'm not sure which grant it is. The PSC, it's a grant fund. Ms. Haxby would probably know which grant it was. I mean, there's multiple grants if it's capital, if it's...
This one's Nebraska Broadband Bridge.
So that's Broadband
Bridge.
Federal
okay,
dollars.
This is a Bridge Act. So this is a Bridge Act one, yes.
On Bridge Act, what you talked about with a rule of no overbuild to be performed, on Bridge Act dollars, and you're sure that's what...
This is Bridge, Nebraska Broadband Bridge.
I was just going to ask, on this specific funding source, is that rule attached to that where there's no overbuild?
I would be 99% sure it is, but I would have to go back and actually look at that.
I know itself, it's on
because
the
when
spot.
We set up the BEAD program, when we set up, or the BEAD program comes out, I mean, on all grants out there, the concern is using the most, you know, the dollars to get to the hardest places. The BEAD funding is to get to the hardest places that are out there, the unserved areas. And in doing that, we should not be overbuilding anybody when we do that. And go back to look at that specific grant. I would be surprised, and I'm sure either of the lawyers here can tell you for a fact if that is in there, but I would be surprised if it's not, because the concern is it's not to overbuild an area, spend more money in an area than what we need to, make sure we get those areas built out, and utilize the funds that we do get, although it sounds like a lot, you know, $450 million plus maybe where we're at, that's not going to reach the entire state. So we need to be judicious with the funds that we do have and the grant allocation that we do have. And we do. And that's, sorry, but now I come back to the, not your decision, I understand, but I come back to the PSC. They knew about this. Ms. Hackley said that you could have worked with everybody and I'm concerned that if this is happening here, if it's happening in other parts of the state, we got an issue really on how we're expending our funds and making sure that we're doing the best we can with the dollars we have. And that's what we need to be doing, is making sure every dollar is used to the best place that it can.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
We really do appreciate both of you coming down.
Yep, thanks.
Thank you.
Morning, sir.
Good morning. My name is Lowell Brooks. I'm a consultant out of Lincoln and have been working with and through the county for several years. Was a consultant on the broadband project with NextLink. And I'm here not as a lawyer but as a consultant to try to provide some perspective to this very sticky issue. And I think the issue that you raised, Commissioner Lytle, Supervisor Lytle, excuse me, is a good one. We have a permit here today. But I do want to clarify some of the language that we've been using about where the authority is to determine who gets a permit and who doesn't. The authority on permitting lies only with you. This is not authority of the PSC. It's not authority of any other governmental agency in the state of Nebraska. Only you have the power to deny or accept or approve a permit. And the PSC's grant of money is not a mandate that anybody receiving the money can come into any jurisdiction in this state, including Gage County, and automatically get permits. That's your job. That's your control. It's given to you by the legislature under the Constitution of the state of Nebraska. The PSC has no jurisdiction over that issue, period. Pinpoint has been awarded, and I like Pinpoint, and I like everything about Pinpoint. This is just an unusual circumstance that has arisen with regard to competing jurisdictions. What Pinpoint has received is under the PSC's jurisdiction as a granting authority, an allocation authority for public money. All they do is grant money to an application, to an applicant, who presumably will comply with all other relevant laws in the execution of the project that they've been funded for, which means permitting and complying with local regulations that are in place right now. It doesn't overreach or supersede the local responsibilities of permitting or the local power to permit. Nothing. All it is an opportunity to build if that particular provider can demonstrate that they comply with all other relevant laws to do so. And that's why we're here. This permit application is within the province of the county only. PSC has nothing to do with it. They're only granting money to somebody or a carrier to come in and say, if you can get everything done, and in fact there's a questionnaire within the application saying, do you foresee any permitting problems with this application? And the application on most, or the response on most, including Pinpoint, was no. Well, that's because the law doesn't require any connectivity or any contact with the county before these grants are issued. There's nothing that would say that there will or won't be a problem if you don't communicate with the county. As Ms. Haxby indicated earlier, had there been prior notice, this whole thing would not have probably happened, because there would have been a way to find a way to collaborate with Pinpoint in areas that were not already funded by the enormous work that this body did, this board did, in 2022 to act as a leader in the state for using its funds in attracting a broadband program that has been a model and will be a model for the state and in this county as well going forward. So the work that you did has a public purpose. The public purpose behind granting to another provider money to build is also a public purpose, but that particular provider has to comply with all other laws, including yours. Now, there are consequences in issuing or denying or approving a permit, and those consequences relate to, is that approval in the public interest? Does it comport with the work that you have done in your public efforts to provide an environment for the development of broadband in Gage County? It doesn't appear that it is. It's inconsistent with some of the work you've already done. You've already funded areas that this application would provide. You've also worked tirelessly to provide an environment where you can continue to leverage public money for the public good by having a carrier provide other services or other connectivity without cost to the county. So you're leveraging a huge amount of public interest and public benefit by the work you've already done. It would be remiss, I think, for the county board to conclude that authorizing another carrier who we know has been granted an opportunity to provide service, but in a flawed system from the Public Service Commission that Senator Bostelman and Dorn have indicated, is inconsistent with the public interest. So, yes, you have power. It should be a simple question. Are you going to cede the power to grant permits to the Public Service Commission? I would hope not. I wouldn't think you'd need to. Your decision to grant or deny does have consequences that relate to the public interest of this body, and that's what I would hope you would take into consideration. Granting something that we know would trigger other activities that are inconsistent with the public direction or the public requirements in the broadband bridge program, because it says you can't subsidize a project that's already been subsidized with other public money. So I would encourage you to recognize that the PSC has a very flawed distribution system. This is not new for the PSC. About 40 years or 50 years of flawed distribution and allocation processes have contributed to the problem that we have right now throughout the state, including Gage County. And that includes Southern Gage County, which we need to have work done there as well. But the model that you have put together leads the state in finding ways for the county in its jurisdiction, under its jurisdiction, to solve public issues that are the county's business. And that can happen with other creative processes and relationships and business enterprises and other grants. But to allow a permit that is inconsistent, perhaps, with part of the work you've already done. It is also inconsistent with the letter of the grant application that has been granted to Pinpoint. Again, Pinpoint's a fine company. This is a mess that's been created by the Public Service Commission. But your duty is to act in accordance with the public interest of Gage County. And that's your duty. And that's the basis for this decision-making is up or down. Does this help Gage County? Well, it would seem to me that the evidence suggests that it's not consistent with what Gage County has done for the last 3 or 4 years. Stretching, leveraging public money to get to as many people as possible with the least cost, to do the kind of support work and evaluation that Senator Bostelman so eloquently talked about earlier. There's very limited money. We're trying to figure out how to stretch it to every person in the state who needs it. And if we waste it or if we duplicate it, it's not in anybody's public interest to do so. And it also specifically relates to Gage County and the work that's been done to assure that overbuilding did not occur in your project, that you would not want to have overbuilding occur here again because it's inconsistent with the guidelines of the program that we're talking about and the program that you put together. So it seems compelling to conclude that the up or down, the permitting, does have a public consequence, and we would hope that that vote would be in a manner consistent with the tremendous work you've already done for the last 3 or 4 years that sets up an opportunity for these kinds of programs throughout Gage County and throughout the rest of the state. So I would urge you just to look at the power. Only you have the power to issue or approve the permit. Not the PSC, has no authority over you whatsoever. So thank you for your attention. Congratulate you for all the work that you have done and will do for expanding broadband availability throughout the county. Your question's a very good one, and I think it's pertinent, and I don't want to have anyone leave here with a misconception that the PSC controls Gage County. It doesn't.
Mr. Lytle.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate all the work that you've done with Emily and to the point that we've gotten. A couple of things that I just want to say or ask. You know, it's for me, as I look at this, it's not, you know, I can't say that it's detrimental to our Gage County residents if this project is done, because now they've got two opportunities for broadband. So for me to say that it's inconsistent or it's, we're giving our constituents in the county opportunities, or the PSC has given them opportunities, we aren't. Okay, so that's the first thing I'd like to say. The second thing is that, you know, answer that one first.
Well, certainly if Pinpoint wanted to enter that area on its own dollar, that would be a different story. That's what competition would allow. But that's not what this proposal represents. It's not trying to defeat competition. It's simply saying, how do we use public dollars? How do we use public money? And is that fair and reasonable? Clearly, it's not consistent with the program that's being offered as an opportunity.
Okay. So the second part of that now is that without the PSC members here today or the board to answer that question, you know, they decided that, apparently, they decided that this project is something that needs to be done or qualifies to be done. I don't understand. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's a good idea or that it isn't. Emily's obviously given them the information, and they've continued to proceed. So how can we stand here today and say that the PSC has done a bad job or that the project shouldn't move forward, as the PSC has said, because they've looked at it extensively, or we assume they have, right? And they say that it's a good project, and they've offered it forward.
I think one would hope to assume that they've taken a hard look at it. It seems inconsistent with their own guidelines that they would allow public money to overbuild a place that's already received public money. And that's why the question persists. To object or to dismiss a challenge on that very issue for a one-day issue seems arbitrary and capricious to some degree compared to its history. It's not an issue of trying to deny citizens competition. This is how we use public money, how this body used public money to leverage this in one of the most creative ways that I've seen in the state. And so it would be inconsistent with the efforts that you have undertaken to leverage that money.
But us passing a utility permit that generally our precedence is that it goes into the consent agenda, it gets read in, and we approve it without any discussion. To go there, assuming that the PSC has made a mistake when they've had extensive discussion and looks at this, that's my struggle. And I think we've got two individuals sitting here in the audience that don't appear to agree with the decision the PSC has made. This discussion at the state level needs to be had as to what went on here. What, you know, there needs to be review of this. Why did you make this decision? But that's not for us. This is a utility permit that our precedence is that it goes through the consent agenda and it's approved. And I
appreciate
that's not a mandate. That's not giving them a mandate over us.
Right. It is not a mandate. It's a matter of your discretion and your determination of whether it's in the public interest to do so. And I agree with you. These are typically cut and dried. But the circumstances are quite different. Just because we've never had this kind of situation arise, there's a lot of discussion about jurisdiction and the quality of applications, et cetera. I don't want to lay that all at your feet. It's just the notion of what you have already done and how you have already leveraged these dollars is an indication of the public work that you did and the public benefit that you felt that this project would generate for your citizens. Good point.
And where that's coming from is your view that the PSC made a mistake, or that Emily's or mine that made a mistake. I've got to move forward with the PSC members are elected, and they're doing their job, and their job directs that there won't be overbuilds. They won't be over. So for some reason they certified this. They moved it forward. That's not for me to decide. That's their job.
Agreed. And I don't know that you can make a determination of whether they were right or wrong.
Shouldn't.
But you can determine the consequences of the act that is not ministerial, it's discretionary at the county board level, as to whether this furthers the interest of your citizens. That's my point. That's only in your jurisdiction, not theirs. And a lot needs to be done at the PSC to correct this. That's been true for 40 years. This won't correct that. Pinpoint would have to look for some other remedy at the PSC. But I understand your point. It's just that any decision made by the board has public consequences.
Mr. Shuler.
Appreciate it.
Can we move our money and take this so there wouldn't be an overlap? We just change our route and use the funds someplace else to get more people? I mean, we're losing money taking it out. If we don't allow Pinpoint to use this money, then that money goes back into the fund, which leaves Gage County. And in what you've said is that we need to do what's best for Gage County and the people here. So it seems to me it'd be better just to go ahead and move our fiber so other people get.
Mr. Brooks, just real quickly, ours is unfunded there. We don't have any money going into that one.
We can't move it. It's already in the ground. The conduit's already in place, and actually the majority of those are already live and hooked up. Can't move it unless you want to
go get it. So it's installed.
Unless you want to go get a shovel and start digging. Yeah. It's there.
An issue. And quite frankly, the county doesn't have power that we know of to force the Public Service Commission to reallocate. That's a problem that is unanswered at this point. I don't know what the remedies would be for Pinpoint. That's unclear. The only thing that you can control is what's before you, and you have that authority that's singular in the state, and it's not anybody else's authority to force you to do anything.
Mr. Swavely, then Ms. Hatch.
I just think, going back to what Senator Dorn said, that Pinpoint and NextLink sort of get their heads together and resolve this problem on their own, especially if there's black lines left in that conduit that they can work it out if there's a house or two that's been missed. I mean, I think we're just missing a big problem here, okay? So
my fear on this one, Mr. Swavely, the black lines were more public utilities, things like that, like a Norris or someone. I think this would be like Chevy and Dodge trying to share a showroom right now. Nothing against either one. It's just two competing businesses.
So we're talking about not a detriment, like this is a benefit to those 13 homes to have opportunity. But while it's a benefit to those 13 homes to have a competitive market, because those funds are subsidized, it's a detriment to then others that could have had it. So while you're looking at it as like that's not a detriment to them, but it is to the people that still don't have that service. And when you say the PSC has looked at it, they didn't follow their own rules. If the PSC really did know what they were doing and they know they looked at it, it would never have been classified as a Tier 1, because a Tier 1 states that it has not received public assistance for development of a broadband network to be classified as a Tier 1. So it's...
Thank you for your attention. Appreciate it.
Mr. Brooks, I do have a question for you, and I'm going to reiterate, Pinpoint sounds, I'm not familiar with the company other than working in Beatrice, haven't heard anything bad. We had him say they don't raise prices, and I said that can't be right because people don't say that. It's like that's fantastic. So I guess this part of the conversation, regardless of who it is, I'm not asking about any supplier. It's something I asked Senator Bosselman. This BEAD funding, does this have the language in it that says there will be no overbuilds used with this funding? Does that apply to this specific grant?
This is broadband bridge funding.
I'm sorry, bridge.
It comes
funding
from the legislature. And the application process for Tier 1, which is what this application was awarded to be, provides that it cannot be awarded in areas where the service has been subsidized by another entity, from another public entity. So that's contained in the criteria that the Public Service Commission set up for Tier 1 applications.
So that would apply directly to this?
Yes. Just
because, I mean, otherwise, you know, you said they have to meet all laws, obligations. You know, this is an opportunity. As far as I know, they're meeting or they plan to meet every other law and obligation, meet or exceed, whatever that may be. You know,
I'm sure they will.
Everything else is on the up and up. But in the language on this, it does specifically say then.
Yes. Not as the commission's responsibility to determine what category of application they are looking at for purposes of funding, that Tier 1 does have language that prohibits funding by the Public Service Commission in areas that have already been funded by another public entity.
Mr. Lytle.
So why did they approve this?
Well, that's the $64,000 question. I don't know. We have our own feelings about it. I don't want to bash the PSC. They have a lot of work to do.
You've done it.
I've done it pretty well. I will say historically that there have been flaws in their processes historically. And what Gage County has done is to try to find a way to avoid or mitigate some of those things. The PSC is an administrative agency. It's got a lot on its plate. Things happen, and it's inexplicable. I know that Emily has gone to the ends of the earth to try to inform them, and why they haven't been responsive is a reason that Senator Bosselman has identified before. It needs to happen. It needs to be better. It doesn't have a remedy, for example, for Pinpoint in this situation. And again, a fine company, good people. We've worked together in many cases. But there's no mandate here for you to approve this. And given the circumstances with all the issues and its own application criteria, it seems inconsistent for the commission to have done this. But again, that's something that's going to be argued at another level. What we do know is that you have subsidized with ARPA money a part of the territory that will now be subsidized by the state of Nebraska funds. That is a reality if you allow this permit to be approved.
Anything else for Mr. Brooks? Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your questions.
Do you have any other esteemed guests? Mr. Lytle talked about going into closed session. We don't have counsel here with us. With everyone else being able to speak, I would kind of like to have Mr. Shoemaker and his representative have an opportunity to speak before we do close. It may be appropriate not to take action today just without Mr. Harris here today, but I don't want to take away your ability to close out.
Appreciate that opportunity, Chairman. One thing that as I was listening to everything occur, another example that I believe that this body of work has approved permits in duplicative areas one way or the other is the West Ellis project that Diode had. So there's been a precedence that's been set that you guys have taken action for funded areas. The West Ellis project, I made a statement on Monday that I believed it was NextLink overbuilding Diode in a situation. As I went back and looked at the commission's process of 22 bridge camp applications, 2022, they opened that period in June. They had intents to challenge, NextLink challenged that. The commission denied it. Diller was awarded an NBBP 2 grant. They began construction in December of 2022 and completed that project in June of 2023, based on the information I got from them. The nearest I can tell, the reason of the denial has to do with, and I may be wrong here, but I'm just going from how I would have viewed it. Your guys' agreement was signed on September 21st as using ARPA funds of 2022. And that had a 24-month period on it, and the conditions of challenge would be required to be built in 18 months in the rules of the PSC. As I said, I wasn't going to kind of dive into the PSC's rulemakings, but I could see where they denied that. So we believe that the permit has been, there's been a precedent set by this board to approve NextLink's permit to overbuild Diodes in that 16-unit session that they had for West Ellis. I know that some may disagree with that statement, but as I went through that, I can kind of see it was a perfect storm in the middle of that as well, just on timing, but I can see where the commission denied that for a reason. And I know that, but I just wanted to bring that to light as we talk about what has been done in the past, what you have the ability to do. But that's all I have to say, but I would concede some time to my attorney.
Thank you, members of the Board of Supervisors. My name is Andy Pollack. I'm with the Rembolt Ludtke Law Firm in Lincoln and Seward, and I'm appearing here on behalf of Pinpoint. And I'll keep these comments brief, and I'll just address a couple comments that were made before. What is before you is a simple permit, utility permit. We checked with your roads department, your highway department, and learned in the last 5 years you've not denied a permit, with one exception, and that was because the permit applicant didn't have financial wherewithal to follow through with the project. Typically, it's done on a routine basis, like you said earlier, on a consent calendar. The other thing is the guiding standard that the highway department has used before has been, is this permit for a public use? And I don't think anybody here, including in the audience, would argue that this is for a public use. Broadband is a utility now. We've learned from COVID that it's absolutely essential. And so really, your decision is confined to, is it for a public use? Did the PSC make a mistake or not? That's a question the PSC has chewed on. I can tell you I practiced before the Public Service Commission for years. To some extent, I would agree with Mr. Brooks. In the past, they have had a checkered record of doling out money and not ensuring that it's finding its way in the ground in the form of fiber. Pinpoint is one of those companies that has fiber to the prem in to every location that they serve in their exchange, and they proudly do it, and they have a home office, and they're there to serve customers. Not all companies have done that, and that's what Mr. Brooks was speaking of. In 2019, the commission changed things to fix things. The bridge program for them is relatively new. I can tell you I've had clients clients who've been the beneficiaries of the program, clients who've challenged successfully, clients who've challenged unsuccessfully, and clients who feel like they got a raw deal from the Public Service Commission because the commission denied their application based on overbuilding grounds. I won't tell you the PSC is perfect, but with this program, they have adjusted every year after determining things that need to be adjusted. And in this case, before the commission, what the commission was faced with, I'm not here to defend the Public Service Commission or advocate on their behalf. I'm not their lawyer, but they wrestled with this issue. If they had granted the NextLink motion for reconsideration, they would have blown up their entire set of rules that applies to the apply to this. So what have they done instead? They've retooled it this year, and they're looking at these applications differently now than they did last year. And that's been the case for the last 4 years since that they've administered these programs. And again, I've had clients that, had they waited a year, they'd be in a better position because of the PSC's actions. So again, the issue here is not to challenge or correct or second-guess the Public Service Commission. It really should be irrelevant where these funds are coming from for purposes of this permit. Do you ever look at funding sources for permits in the past? I don't know, but it seems awkward that you are. The issue is it for a public use? And I would submit that there's no question in that regard. I'd be glad to happy to try to answer questions if you have any.
I guess I would ask the same as I asked Mr. Brooks. Do you see it? And I'm totally following your conversation okay. Here as far as we are looking at a utility permit. I guess that would be my hang up again is what is our responsibility? And as we're dragging you across the rug here, I do want to thank you for your investment in the county. You've made a significant investment already, and you're wanting to make more. So please don't think this is anything aimed at you at all. I guess the conversation has all been around process and that, nothing to do with anything with your company, so I do want to emphasize that again to you. Do you see this funding source having rules or strings attached to it that would not allow an overbuild of a previously funded project with the BEAD funding or the BEAD Act funding?
Broadband bridge.
Doggone it. I wrote down bridge and I can't get off of it.
No worries.
Do you see these funds having those strings attached to them?
The bridge program has restrictions against overbuilding. Overbuilding infrastructure that's 100 by 20. It doesn't have to do, like Mr. Brooks said, I don't think what he said is correct, and I'd be subject to correction too, but I don't think it has to do with whether it's subsidized or not. Just no overbuilding existing facility, regardless of the source of that, if it's 100 by 20 capable. The problem we have here is that NextLink did not timely or actually ever even file a challenge. They didn't give the commission a chance to formally consider this. Had they, there might have been a different outcome. Should the commission rest on procedure? Yeah. They have to. If they don't, this whole program falls apart. And NextLink, I would say, has a record. The reason the commission's stringent on these deadlines is because NextLink itself has a bad record of making deadlines. The extension request that Ms. Haxby are talking about, that's completely different. There's a process for seeking that. There's not a process for seeking an extension to challenge something. They blew it, and they've blown it before. And if we allow them to come in through a back door, that whole PSC process falls apart. Could the PSC have done something differently? That's not for a county board to decide. That would be for a Nebraska Supreme Court to decide.
Ms. Haxby.
Question with that. You said it was timing. I let them know. How does that play in?
It's still part of process. With all due respect, Ms. Haxby, there is a formal process that anybody, that I, my clients have followed, and you have to go through those motions.
I had phone calls, and then I had that email within the challenge timeline.
there's a process that didn't fit within. And like I said, the commission is looking at information like that now. That's a change. That's a change, I think, for the better. And it shows that they can adapt and they do adapt. And again, I've had clients who, if they had been the beneficiary of a change by the PSC, if they'd waited a year, they would have been the beneficiary of a change by the PSC. So sometimes it works against a company and sometimes not.
More of a comment following, but sure. When the diode part was discussed with the overbuild, I mean, like was talked about, it was kind of in a crazy time. We were getting ours started. They were getting that done. I had conversations with multiple people at the PSC that was an overbuild. Still happened. I am still.
But the PSC
learning.
Approved that before you did. I think is what Mr. Schumacher said.
No, ours was approved.
No, I think the baseline was about the agreement that you guys had.
Yes.
It was a 24 months, and which is the 18 month requirement.
But
right?
Ours was approved, and then they awarded.
Yeah, it was like I said, kind of perfect storm situation
right.
there.
Right, and I get that. But if we've and I'm still learning on this board. I've only been on here one term. I'm still learning the processes. I'm still learning what we can do, what we can't do, like with the rights away. Those are rights away. We can deny, we can approve. But I also understand the complexity of it, right? They have to handle all of these. And so things do slip through the cracks. And I understand that. So this is now multiple times. When do we say it's enough? When do we make a stand? What if this happened to Pinpoint? What if the overbuild was on your end and this was something we had done with a partnership, right? So if we've always done what we've always done, I would still be out there with a horse farming. But things change. We progress. We learn. We adapt. And so that's why I'm trying to say, like, this isn't about that. This is the overbuild. And like I said before, while the majority of this project is an overlap, just because we had the contract part, we had the permit part. Like, if we have to come to some sort of an in-between middle ground, I'd be okay with at least doing the part that's outside of our area. Even though I had that permit at a $0 investment, and this one subsidizes it about $25,000. But once we cross that into our area, we already have it. Fiber's in the ground. It's already hooked up. It is an overbuild. That's where I'm saying that's a no for me.
Yeah, I hear you. And I would say it pains me to stand up here and be adverse to Emily and the two senators who are here. Senator Bostelman has been a warrior for broadband in Nebraska like no other government leader, including the governor by far. And Lowell Brooks is a fine man, a former colleague, and knows his stuff. We just have a different point of view here. But I will tell you that knowing Mr. Schumacher's record and Pinpoint, had Ms. Haxby had NextLink approached him in a timely manner, he would have been more than willing to have conversations. He's had conversations with competitors in the past and made adjustments to projects. But we're well beyond that now.
Ms. Haxby, I think we'll probably wrap this up without our counsel here today. I don't know, as I talked with Mr. Lytle, I don't know if we can vote on this today.
Mine was just in prior to that. I would have loved to have a conversation with, I mean, we could have picked lots of places.
Those were both ways. Yeah.
I would have loved to have that conversation. I would have, we got a support letter together. We've wrote them before, worked with you. I want to. I'd love to continue to sit down at the table and do this. It's just the overbuild, and we have so many people that aren't served yet.
Lines of communication are obviously a lot more open now, so this should be good moving forward. As I talked to Mr. Light, although without counsel here, I think we probably do need to talk to the county attorney to get his opinion on this as a whole also before we take any action.
I respect that. I'd remind you that slows down this project even more, and there would be people served right now if it had been approved before.
And I won't say that we have to. If board member wants to make a motion, it would just, I think there would be a. The attorneys all are at trainings. We would have representation here. But they all are tied up right now.
Well, I'll make a motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve. The utility permit number 1300.
I'll second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Swavely.
No.
Schuler.
I'm sorry, Mr. Schuler. Motion by, I'm not used to you guys.
Yeah.
Making motions on this side.
Wrong side.
Motion by Lytle, second by Schuler to approve utility permit number 1300 as presented.
Now, can we go into closed session to discuss?
I would ask for a motion to go into closed session necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual at 10:34. Is that a motion?
Yes.
By second. Lytle, second by Schuler. Please vote. Six in favor, with Dorn voting no, motion carries. We'll go into closed session. We'll try to make this as brief as possible. If any of you do have to go, thank you.
They would stay out of the duplication of funds.
Okay, you're on.
But I'm mouthy.
Make a motion to come out of
executive session. We will come out of closed session at 11:02. I'd ask for a motion and a second, please. Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Second by Swavely. Come out of closed session at 11:02. We went in for legal advice, potential litigation.
Which they could still
get. We were able to get a hold of
Please
Roger,
vote.
Which is good.
Yeah. Seven in favor. Yeah, we are in open session. We have a motion by Lytle, second by Schuler, to approve utility permit as written, number 1300. If they don't fulfill. Any discussion from the board on this motion? Any additional discussion? Ms. Haxby.
I have a question for Pinpoint.
Time for questions is passed.
Shoemaker.
Shoemaker.
Just kidding. Mr. Shoemaker, Mr. Pollock?
Yes. When you build this out, I think there was like 21, 23 homes. Is it all, or do you build and you can't get to some and then they're paid out for part of it?
No, so the way that the process works is they pay us a quarter of the funds made up on approval, and then we build and construct, and then we take receipts and financials and get it's a with
reimbursement
type of situation.
So you could be reimbursed for a certain number.
Right. Yes. Okay. Yeah, it's a reimbursable type of situation in our.
Okay, so this is just more of a statement. You're welcome to stand, sit, whatever you want to do. So, like I said before, the majority of this, my issue is the overlap of our funds. We've already constructed. Actually, the majority of those are already hooked up and funded and hooked up. And so, while I'm not a fan of overbuilding a permit that I got at $0 for a funded one at $25,000, That would be, for me, like at least somewhere where we could be in the middle of that, where we're not overbuilding what we have already funded in contract versus what I worked on for months and got established with a permit. So as it sits right now, I would say no unless we made it stop at our contract lines.
So what she's basically making a proposal to
the board. I don't know where this is. Just more my statement is as of right now, this permit, it crosses into an area we have already built out, and while that would be fine if it was not subsidized, because I 100% support competition in the market. If they want to go out there on their own someday without funding, go for it, build out. That's what capitalism is. But as it sits right now, if we stop at our contract lines, they have not built out yet. I was told they were going to have it built out at the end of the summer. It's a permit sitting there ready to go. I worked on it for months to get it done at $0 to the state and the county. However, it is not built out yet, and it is not contracted. So if they wanted to build out those eight-ish, I think I'd have to count. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 100, 101, 102, 103, 104, 105, 106, 107, 108, 109, 110, 111, 112, 113, 114, 115, 116, 117, 118, 119, 120, 121, 122, 123, 124, 125, 126, 127, 128, 129, I think there's 10.
So what you're saying, Emily, is you wouldn't object to letting Pinpoint take what's not been
contracted
yet?
Yeah, already funded. Now, at a later date, if they want to build out when the funding isn't available, go for it. But mine is the line of duplicating government funds when we have other places to serve.
I've heard you say that multiple times, but that's not something you do.
And I don't know how to do that. I know that this permit is as a whole right now, so I don't know how we would approach that. I'm just saying, like, I'm trying to look at it as...
Mr. Shoemaker, is that an option to stop a build outside of the... Is that an option for your company to stop this build outside of the pre-permitted work area?
Not based on what I've signed up with at the commission level with our application. But I had to personally certify that we would go build all the locations inside of that service area.
So you don't have the option to say, I'm only going to do half of this?
It would be a complete go back and rehear it. My assumption, I don't know. I'd have to consult with Andy here to see what even that option is. I don't even know what that would be. That is not our historical preference on any of that. We believe that they approved it through the process. And
is it picking up?
We're ready to go. We're ready to go a month ago to go do this. So.
But if it's a reimbursement, then it's paid for as you build.
But then he'd be out of compliance with his contract. Additional discussion by the board.
Well, do you know if there's a holding for that?
Mr. Brooks, I'd have to have you come up to the microphone. I was looking on the recorder. It was very, very lightly picking up your voice.
Unfortunately, I don't know whether a reconsideration by Pinpoint to change the application is possible. This is a new program, and I don't know what option they would have. We'd all have to look at it. I wish I knew, but I don't.
While you're up there, you've worked with the PSC over the years. Each of you has.
Right.
What would a denial, what would ramifications of that be at the PSC level? Would there be retribution of some sort as additional permits come in for...
Well, I would hate to conclude that. I think that and Andy can correct me if I'm wrong, if you're unable to build, you would have to certify that for reasons of compliance or whatever, you'd have to certify that to the commission, and I think it would constitute a return of the grant, would it not? I think that's the only remedy that I know of, to report to the commission that by virtue of certain circumstances, we cannot complete the construction. And I don't know what else they might do, but generally, if you can't build, then the award is revoked.
I meant more towards Gage County in the future.
If
that'll be seen as a black eye towards the county because we made it difficult after they gave a permit, regardless of what the circumstances are. Not a permit, once they awarded a grant.
Well, I would certainly hope not. I mean, in other words, the commission has no authority in Gage County whatsoever. This is just an allocation of money. If it can't be done, that's a situation between the carrier and the PSC. There may well be advances in what counties do in the future across the state with regard to these kinds of issues. I do want to say, now that I'm up here, just to clarify, that a priority Tier 1 application, which this is, if I'm not mistaken, yes. Tier 1, is an unserved area in Nebraska which locations lack access to broadband internet speeds of 25 or three, and has not received public assistance for development of a broadband network. So that clarifies what the criteria of the PSC was, just for your information. So I think the commission's interested in trying to do the right thing. We're not talking about malice with anybody. It's just that the process is flawed. And this is clear about what the process, what the guidelines were at that time and are. Whatever happened is not consistent with a Tier 1 application. So I would think, and I think the commission's trying to work through corrections to that. So as long as it's compliant with their criteria, a failure to be able to complete a project should not be a reason to conclude when it's no fault or there's no consequence to the carrier for failure to do what it was supposed to do except an impediment, that could be reawarded. But I think it would take a different application. Andy, is that your sense? That's all I know of now. I don't know that these circumstances are common yet with the Broadband Bridge program. I think everybody's trying to work things out. This was obviously one of the flaws, but there may be others. So I guess that would have to be a notice to the commission that for reasons dealing with permitting or whatever, they could not conclude that particular grant award, and then they'd have to apply for another award in an area that qualified under the statute.
Mr. Lyle.
I think in fairness to Pinpoint, I think, you know, we vote on the issue, give them an up or down, and let them, and then we figure it out from there.
Mr. Swavely.
You know, your question is, NextLink going to cover everyone that Pinpoint wants to cover?
I had a grant that covered everything between our project and the city. I worked on it for months between them and the community members, talked to all of them. They went door to door. I got the permit back in. I think we were able to get that in September.
You got an additional grant for that?
Nope, it was $0. I just worked with them, talked to them, talked to the community members, and it was $0.
But the houses that are on that map are
everyone would have been covered.
Pinpoint wants to do.
Yep.
Would be under the permit that's already filed?
Yes. See, it's this one right here. But what I'm saying is that permit is not constructed yet, unlike our contract, which is already constructed. And it is not a contract, and it is not subsidized, so that's the gray area. While I would prefer to see the $0 one be built, they were awarded one at $25,000. So not contracted, so it would fall under the Tier 1 because it's not subsidized. Not.
Thank you, Mr. Brooks.
You're right.
We have a motion and a second. Any additional discussion from the board?
Just to be clear, Emily, all the houses they were going to do would be covered under yours.
Between the permit and our contract, they were all covered.
They were going to build to was covered.
Every single one.
And that permit is already approved. That's the one that went through.
Except the barn. I'm sorry. We didn't go to the barn.
Don't you care about barns?
I don't care about the barn.
But that permit's already approved.
It was already approved.
When?
September.
Of 23.
Yes. But again, it wasn't a contract. It was not. It's not a subsidized build. It's just something that I worked on with those community members out there to get constructed, and they permitted it.
When would it be built according to that permit?
There's not like a build date, but I had checked with them a couple weeks ago, and they said end of summer. They're trying to get ours finished first. Ours has a deadline, so.
Just to remind me, when's the deadline on the one that was funded with ARPA funds?
September of 2024.
And that's how far along?
DSA, Pickerel DSA, Adams DSA, and the Cortland is almost complete. Almost all of the conduit is in the ground. There's a couple more boring left in the East Beatrice DSA. All the fiber is in the DeWitt and the Virginia DSA, and it's just splicing.
Anything else from the board?
Motion.
Motion is by Lytle, second by Schuler, to approve utility permit 1300 to Pinpoint Communications as written to run fiber for this grant. $1,300. If there's no additional discussion, please vote. Vote is 2 in favor, 5 against, with Schuler and Lytle voting yay. Juergens, Haxby, Thiemann, Dorn, Swavely voting nay. Motion fails. This is obviously a discussion that's not about the contractor here. This is a discussion that fell down to funding, overfunding, or refunding of tax dollars. I guess that's the main emphasis I want to make on this is this in no way is reflective of Pinpoint or the quality of work you've done. All the discussion we've had has been on process and how the process has worked from the state level down. It sounds like some of those items are being corrected. Some of the issues that we see or we think we see are being corrected. Hopefully the thought would be these tax dollars to get to unserved people for grant funds will be spread to those people that won't be funded otherwise. And this would return that money to the pot. If it's not built, that would go to an area that will not receive fiber otherwise.
I just want to say, Myron and Bossman, please don't take this the wrong way. I feel like the county board's done some heavy lifting today. I think that there's some things that need to be figured out, and they're above us. And I hope that you guys will go back and do the work that needs to be done to take care of this. And I appreciate the process. I think there's some things we need to improve on. So
it's days like this.
I gotta go.
Thank you, Mr. Lytle. It's days like this I really struggle because we want to encourage investment in our area and we want to make it easy to do business here. And then when someone's trying to invest, we don't allow it. With that being said, if this was not grant funded or not overbuilt, we would welcome it with open arms, and we still welcome Pinpoint in however we can work together. And we want to be as good a partner as possible, although it probably doesn't feel that way at all right now. But we do welcome you into our county, and we do want to work with you. You said it very well. You got caught in the middle of an argument between two government agencies. Oftentimes, the only one that loses is the contractor, and I feel for you on that. But if there is anything we can do to help with things moving forward, please, please don't hesitate to ask us. But thank you both for coming in, and thank you, Senator Bosselman and Dorn and Mr. Brooks for coming in as well. On a lighter note, discuss and approve or disapprove resolution number 24-06 on exchanging 2.76 miles and 3 miles with Blakely Township.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Haxby, second by Juergens.
They woke up over there.
Any discussion on this item? We talked about it Monday. Be swapping out some county road for township road in preparation for Hickory Road expansion. With no 2.76 miles. Negative. Different direction. If there's no discussion, we have a motion by Haxby, second by Juergens, to approve resolution number 24-06. Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries.
Thiemann voted no.
I didn't see that.
I did.
Might get your eyes checked, Eddie. Approve or disapprove agreement between Gage County and the State of Nebraska Department of Transportation for the Beatrice Southwest local detour.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Haxby, second by Juergens. It was close. Anything you want to go over with us on this, Mark? Mr. Juergens? Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove recommendation for special designated liquor license to Bottle Rocket Brewing, LLC, for the event on June 8th, 2024, located at the Barn Event Center, 2331 West Ash Road, Cortland, Nebraska. Do we have a letter from the
Motion
sheriff?
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a letter from the sheriff stating no issues. He is aware.
Does not oppose.
Does not oppose. Motion by Haxby, second by Dorn.
Is the other way?
Motion by Dorn, second by Haxby.
Okay.
Any discussion? Not, please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries.
Council pass, can't keep up.
Discussion of needs assessment for the detention center. After seeing no need, we'll move on.
It's about hopeless as you are, Mr. Chairman, but we'll work on you too.
Nice okay? to see you, Sheriff.
Yeah. Terry, rule number 21, I think.
You have to say it louder. He didn't hear you.
Rule number 21.
Standing rule.
Do we read it to you? I can pull it out. Hold on.
Okay, in short, we're at the point with the needs assessment. Perhaps you want to come down and we'll need to talk to me and Trevor and my committee to go over a few things on there to finalize. They're just a rough draft now. I don't know if we'll be able to pull it off. I think about the best day is going to do it either on committee day or board day once the meetings are over. Otherwise, trying to get everybody to and him to come down from Omaha, I don't know what schedule is. That'll work for him in 2 weeks or not. But we need to do that. And then we also need to move forward on getting some committee members appointed, the size that we have now. I think last time I had like 10 or 12, and chairman of the board was on it. But so how you want to go about that, you'll have to figure out if you've got people in your communities that you'd like to recommend or something. I'd like to get a good cross-section of Beatrice and all around the counties we had last time, retired and active working and whatever.
How many are on the committee now?
It's just my jail committee and Trevor and me. Oh, and take it back, Todd Heido and Rob Schaefer.
Just those two private? Just those two. How many more private people do I need to?
Well, like the last time I had around 10. Don't even have to this time.
So your jail committee consists of three of you?
Yeah. The Eddie and me, or not me, Eddie and Emily and then Gary, or Lytle.
And then you've got those two. So we need five more people, probably.
It probably wouldn't hurt just to get some people that to get to understand. I will tell you, last time we were done after doing that one for 2 years, those people walked away knowing exactly pretty much what we all knew. But unfortunately, it was just some of those people, not everybody else. There's a lot to it. And there's a lot of dedication. We were, for a while, they were meeting weekly. So, but that is something we need to start looking at pretty quickly.
All right.
So if you want, I can ask if the next committee meeting or board meeting in the mornings when it's over, if that would work for them up there.
You might check for next Monday, just see, or not next Monday, but the coming
after,
Monday.
Right. What is that?
13th.
13th, okay.
And let Dawn know if it does work. Maybe we can make sure Mr. Lytle will be here.
That's pretty busy for her. That's right before your election,
yeah,
right?
Can we back it up? Just a little bit because this
like
room
the 15th?
Is going to be
full. Only if I say so.
A little bit further. How about a couple more weeks? This room is going to be full of election
How
stuff.
How about June 10th?
Election stuff and all that.
June 10th. Is that Monday or Wednesday?
That is a Monday.
June 10th.
You can go May 20th or you can do any of that, but I just, that whole week this.
Well, I'm just thinking ease because some
sort of.
We
the 24th through the 10th.
Speaking of that, can we have committee meetings on May 10th instead of the 13th? Because I've got to take stuff to poll, so you could even do it then, just as long as.
You want to do it on the 10th of May, Gus?
I can ask him. It'll be depending on if they come down.
See if it works. Let's just figure on moving committee meetings to the 10th.
Yeah, do them around 9 o'clock? Is it 10 o'clock?
9 o'clock would be good.
All right.
We should be through most stuff by then.
On May 10th.
Okay.
Okay, I'll ask.
Make sure everybody knows that. We want to move the committee meetings.
Terry and Gary.
Then we won't have them the 13th?
Right.
That way she can get the room ready, right?
Well, I have to go down out and set up, help set up those.
Oh, so this is the actual meeting.
It's, it's okay. Moving it from the 13th to the 10th.
Okay.
Do that not.
For the election commissioner's convenience.
Yeah, it's all.
Thank
about
you, sir. I appreciate that. I owe you a donut. 14th.
Do you owe him a donut that I bought?
Yes. Well, I might bring him a different one.
Okay.
That's
okay.
A good gig. Anything else for this?
That's it on that right now. So,
you guys haven't talked dollars or anything like that on.
On his, yeah, it'll show. The problem took so long is COVID really screwed things up for him, and he's trying to be as accurate as he can for all of us. It showed a lot more that we'd need down the road if COVID stayed in there. Plus, a new judge, and you have different things you're doing now to low bonds, people get out quicker, and all that. Don't quote me, but I was thinking it was like not nothing like it was before.
We don't need
71 beds, something like that, right in that area. A lot more money, you know, than the 110 was, but that's to be expected after all those years. But he's trying to do a real thorough job. He's getting a little frustrated, and he said, I understand. We're working through it. So hopefully we'll have some stuff there for us to ponder on and go through it page by page. And
what location?
What?
What location?
Well, that's something. There's been a couple places thrown out there from the initial meeting we had. I mean, you got a lot of places. Of course, the one we had out west, I'm sure that's already taken up, and people are using that. But you could be here. Dempster's was talked about, you know, and so it's just preliminary.
The place you had before is still sitting empty.
What?
The place you had marked out before, I think, is still sitting empty.
But it probably would be $160,000, though. That reason the committee chose that is because that was 80 acres, and the thought was we were on the east side along the road, the highway there. If county shops had moved, they could have the whole west end, and fiber was running through that entire 80 acres going out to home or out to the college anyway. So it's a good spot. We all thought that was pretty decent, but it didn't work out. So we'll see where it goes this time.
As long as the people want to do it.
Well, that's what it boils down to. Or like Emily says, we looked at that before. Is there some low interest rates, too? It just depends what direction you want to go. So, okay. I'll let you know right away, Don, what he tells me. Okay. That'll work. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff. Do we need a closed session anymore, or can we take care of that in 2 weeks now?
Yeah, I don't know.
Mr. Lytle's gone.
Like that now.
Anything else for the good of the order?
Well, I guess you can.
Let's see.
Motion to adjourn?
We don't really have an update from Pam yet.
No, but we have an update on what was discussed with Sarah before they meet again with the FLP. That's a deal.
Do you have anything prepped for FLP update for us or anything you could go over with us?
I can tell you what we went over. It'd take a couple seconds.
Just so that we can get what you do have for that, just a brief overview of, that'd be for personnel, negotiations with personnel, contract negotiations for FLP. I'd ask for a motion to go into closed session at 11:30, necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to an individual.
Right after a bathroom break, so moved.
Need a motion.
Motion.
I said right after a bathroom break, so moved.
Moved by Emily.
Second.
Second by Swavely. Please vote. 5 in favor. After a bathroom break.
All right.
We can talk about that. Yeah.
All right, you're on.
We'll come out of closed session that we went into for contract negotiation at 11:50 with a motion by
Dorn
and second by Schuler.
Okay.
Please vote. 5 in favor. We're in open session. Going back to resolution number 24-06, that is the swapping of roads between Blakely Township and Gage County, approximately 3 miles for 2.76 miles to Blakely on May 15th, 2024.
May 15th for both Blakely and for, what is this here? Let's see. Okay, on 18 will become responsible. So both of them, I guess, County and Blake, I guess.
Yes, yeah, so we'll make that swap on May 15th, 2024.
Can't leave yet.
Mr. Schuler brought up extension office. I had a conversation with Nicole, saw somebody who's in for 11 and a half hours with no lunch on a Sunday, helping with 4-H. Also had another day with no lunch, working lunch, helping with 4-H. Talked to him on that.
And this was the county employee?
This is the county employee, so they're going to take days off to make up for it again. And what's that?
They were at the pig show, I think.
A pig show? Or
was it this weekend? It was a big deal for, like, we have people from all over coming in for that. Yeah, that's a good thing.
Something for 4-H again, though, with county employee. I need to talk to Dave and just give him, here's an offer of X number of dollars so that we can wash our hands of it, and then they do what they do with it. If they're going to do 4-H, they do 4-H. If they're going to do extension.
It kind of goes hand in hand. I think they should be supported either way.
This would let them use either way. Some counties give nothing to 4-H. Some counties fund 4-H.
I mean, these are helping the kids. This just brought a whole bunch of people into Gage County. That shouldn't be a problem.
If we want to publicly fund clubs, we'll do that. But we generally don't. I know the Trap Fund would like that. They bring kids in.
We publicly fund a lot of things, too. So
the Trap Club would like funding. They just brought hundreds of kids in for two meets, two weekends in a row. Hundreds of kids, hundreds of parents. We do fund.
This is educational.
That's teaching kids to shoot. I mean, it's a club.
You really like that?
What?
No.
Oh, it's a club. I mean, it's right. Nothing more, nothing less. We need to figure out what we're going to do with them. Extension and 4-H are tied together. 4-H is a good program. It's a really good program. Extension's a really good program.
They work hand in hand in that office, though. So, like, for us to try to distinguish which is which and try to control that, I think that we should be supportive of it. We support so many other organizations that,
which is difficult.
Quite frankly, I sometimes disagree with funding altogether. So, to fund something that is beneficial for a lot of the community.
That's where I'd like to give them a set dollar amount, and then it's their funds.
Which is our primary.
And we don't do anything with it. It goes through the university.
Industry.
Because that's something else we don't know. What's supposed to be funded by the U? What's supposed to be funded by us? And when we ask the U, they don't know.
Yeah, but if we right now give them a budget. If they work that's within it, I'd say let it go.
It's a footrest. So
all right, we're good.
Your chair's too dang.
Yep. That he just asked where we were. Okay. I'm gonna try to come up with something so that they don't have to call all the time.
I bought it myself.
Okay. See, bye, anything else for the good of the order?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion by Dorn to adjourn at 11:54.
Dorn.
Oop. Second by Swavely. Yep. He got in there this time. Burnt you. Please vote. We're down to four. Four in favor. Motion carries. Are we off?